You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this isn't obvious now. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner and Alex Dunn with you to take a look at the Champions League and the Europa League this midweek. First of all, a warm welcome to the man sitting opposite me here in the William Hill studio, Alex Dunn. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Dave. It's 10 past one.
Afternoon.
Goodness gracious me.
You know what? It's because I got up so late today. The whole concept of time is eluding me on this. It's Monday, isn't it?
Well, I'll let you into a little secret, listeners. Dave and I are not at our best today, and we didn't drink yesterday.
Yeah.
We drank on Saturday.
This is old age, isn't it?
This is the second day, which is, can I just say, by the way, so much better than the first day. I feel like a new man, but still not a very good man.
we kind of had an excuse because it was the relief of getting National Day done and dusted.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you might think, you two are in a privileged position. You get to sit around and either broadcast on TV about horse racing or in the radio studio. You're lucky, and we are, but there is a lot of pressure on that National Day, and it's nice to have that bit of a release after the big race.
I got two words for you, listeners. Free bar. And that is where the problems arose, I believe. I remember having a conversation with Dave, actually, the day before, when Dave said, I'm getting a bit old, Alex, and I need to be careful because I really feel it the next day. And what did we agree?
We were going to have a shandy, weren't we?
Every other drink would be a shandy.
Yeah.
Total of shandies drank between us?
Zero.
Under 0.5. Yeah,
that's under 0.5 is a winner.
So, yeah, we are here. We're here in body and mind.
Yes.
But my body hurts a little bit and my mind is also sore.
But we'll be fresh, fit and firing come Tuesday night, though, watching these Champions League matches, because we've got a couple of belters on Tuesday, starting with Liverpool versus Porto. As you would anticipate, Liverpool long odds on to win this game at 2-7. The draw is 9-2. Porto win the betting at 10-1. Loads of enhancements, plenty of hashtag your odds markets ahead of this game as well. Liverpool to win by 3 or more in the match was 2-1. That's been enhanced to 5-2. If you fancy Mohamed Salah to score 2 or more, that was 4-1. That's now 6-1, and he broke his goal drought at the weekend. Salah scoring in that 3-1 win against Southampton. Whereas they were slightly fortunate the week before against Spurs with that Hugo Lloris error giving them the 3 points. I thought they showed real resilience and quality in their comeback against Southampton at the weekend.
Yeah, they did, but it's quite a struggle to watch them at the minute. I mean, you hark back to early in the season. They were great to watch.
Yeah.
They were just battering teams away. And now, well, it seems odd to say that they're not as good to watch because they're conceding goals. So for a neutral, you'd think, oh, this is good now. We're getting, you know, loads of goals and Liverpool are still winning. Fine. But they're really just making heavy weather of games that they shouldn't be. I mean, those last three results is, yes, it's three wins. In fact, factoring the Burnley game as well, four wins. But they haven't fully convinced in all of them. That there have been spells in each and every single one of those games that you've gone, oof. Whereas Man City, Premier League-wise, are just cruising through games.
I think that Jurgen Klopp's found it difficult to find a balance with that midfield three because he knows that Jordan Henderson and James Milner aren't as good as they were, but he still trusts them. They're disciplined enough to do a good job in the central midfield area. Whereas I'm not sure, even though Fabinho's a much better player on the ball, he trusts Fabinho as much to do his due diligence in terms of defensive work. And that's where I think Jurgen Klopp's had a few issues with that midfield three. And of course, as people have been saying all season, they don't chip in enough from a goal-scoring perspective either.
No, but you almost don't need to when you've got that the front three that they have. But Henderson was great the other night when he came on. Mm. But then he will do that and he'll run around like a headless chicken, which he did, and it worked. But then you start him in another game and people are having a go at him because he's too negative or he's only passing sideways or you know whatever you want to say about him. Yeah, they're just not convincing at the minute. Results are sort of convincing,
yeah,
but performances aren't. That said, they have been handed a very nice tie here.
This is the best possible draw. Porto have failed to win any of their last 12 away games in the knockout stages in the Champions League. That run stretches way back to May 2004 when they beat Deportivo La Coruña 1-0. Who was in charge then? It was Jose Mourinho. They went on to win the competition. Mm. And yeah, I think that this is the perfect storm for Liverpool, really. The only negative, I suppose, is Andy Robertson is suspended and he's arguably been their best player this season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who comes in for him because it's not a position that they're particularly blessed in,
yeah.
Liverpool. Wouldn't surprise me, actually, if James Milner ends up playing there. Such is the lack of faith that people have in Moreno. But anyway, I think it's a shocking price on Liverpool, but they should win. Let's not forget, these two faced off in the Champions League last year in the group stages. 0-0 at Anfield, but that was off the back of a 5-0 win for Liverpool,
yep,
in Portugal, which was pretty impressive. And they should win here. Porto are a good team, but they fall into that bracket of sides that are not quite good enough to reach the Champions League semis, but would win the Europa League, basically.
Yeah.
And we can throw lots of teams in there, the likes of Zenit in recent years, Sevilla, of course. You know, on their day, they can cause an upset, but in all likelihood, they won't.
If you're looking for a goal scorer here for Porto, Musa Marega is looking to become just the fourth different player in Champions League history to score in 7 successive matches in the competition. He's 16-5 to score any time. And we have seen Liverpool in the last few weeks look slightly more vulnerable defensively. Virgil van Dijk, he's been sensational this season, but he's had a few wobbles, I think, recently. So that Musa Marega 16-5 anytime goal scorer price is quite appealing.
You say he's had a few wobbles, and I pulled a face at you there, but then you are right in that he has directly been at fault for one goal for Liverpool, one for Holland, off the top of my head.
And I thought he was at fault for the goal at the weekend as well. I don't think he covered round quickly enough.
I think if you're playing with a centre-half that needs his hand-holding, then eventually you are going to make a mistake because you're going to trip over each other.
Yeah.
I still think he's great. Although, going back a little while, Moussa Sissoko against Liverpool. Oh, Van Dijk, he's just won the title. No, he hasn't. Moussa Sissoko's rubbish. he's not got a left foot.
Anyone with half a brain cell, yeah,
just says, push him on his left. Oh, he's done so well there. No, he hasn't. He's backed off and backed off. And, yeah, anyway.
What are you going for in this game from a betting perspective then? Because you think Liverpool, they look short at 2-7, but should win.
I'm concerned in terms of the tie as a whole, that Liverpool concede here.
Yes.
Because but then can I see them scoring away? Yes, I probably can. So I think of all of the ties that we're going to talk about, the away goal is probably going to have the least influence in this one because I can see Liverpool going there and scoring. But in terms of this one, I think I'd probably put up Liverpool and both teams to score.
Quite
maybe
like
a 3-1, something like that. I think they will win comfortably enough and it won't be much of a concern. But you turn that 2-7 into 15-8 and all of a sudden that doesn't seem so bad. So that would be the selection. There's enhanced odds if you are, and they're mainly centred around the big three, if you like. But I don't have a particularly strong fancy as to who will get on the score sheet here. I just think Liverpool will outscore Porto. So I'd go plenty of goals, but Liverpool and both teams to score is a big old price, 15-8.
I thought you might. Do you want to go at that quiz question? I mentioned Marega looking to become the fourth player in Champions League history to score in 7 successive matches. Who are the other three?
Ronaldo?
Yes, correct.
Messi?
No.
Raul?
No.
Oh.
Do you want to have a think about that?
No, I'm out.
Okay. It's that second day again, isn't it? Yeah. Second day. Edinson Cavani is one of them.
Right, yeah.
And Ruud van Nistelrooy is the other one. So there you go.
Yeah, wouldn't have got that.
Spurs versus Manchester City also on Tuesday evening. Spurs are 16-5 to win the game. The draw 14-5 with Manchester City 5-6. Qualification prices, Spurs 100-30 to go through. Manchester City are 1-5. If you fancy Kane and Aguero both to score, that was 7-2. That's been enhanced to a pretty generous 6-1. And Raheem Sterling to score first in the game was 4-1. That's now 6-1. City have actually won 11 of their last 16 matches against Spurs. All those wins coming in the Premier League. They've won the last three against Spurs in that competition as well. They're still chasing that historic quadruple that Pep Guardiola says they've got no chance of achieving. Have we seen them appearing slightly fatigued? Or is that just that one result against Brighton at the weekend where they won 1-0, scored early in that game, Gabriel Jesus getting the goal, but after that it was a bad game basically.
Yeah.
But both teams appeared laboured, and a lot of the focus was on Manchester City not being able to break Brighton down, but then Raheem Sterling came out and said, listen, sometimes you've got to give credit where it's due, and they managed to stifle us, which is unusual. And he said it was more Brighton's good play than City's bad play that led to that 1-0 scoreline.
But City have just got so many options. I don't think they are fatigued because Pep is a master of rotation. And when you actually look at who they have in every single position, there are some that haven't played as much as they'd like this season. But I watched Man City in midweek last week against Cardiff, and you just... No Aguero, no Sterling. That's fine. Because Sane and Mahrez come in.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassment of riches, to be honest. That said, fives on to qualify here. Are you having a giggle?
I thought that was short as well.
Way too short.
Yeah.
They probably will qualify. But if you're backing them at fives on, you've got, in the words of Troy Deeney, bigger cojones than I have.
Yeah, and you mentioned they've got that embarrassment of riches, and there's players that can slot in and fill in, and they've almost got like a second team, haven't they, basically, yeah. City. But they are likely to be without Sergio Aguero here, which is, for any team, a big loss because he's such a sensational striker. I know Gabriel Jesus can fill in, but there's a reason why Guardiola's put his trust in Aguero this season rather than Jesus.
Well, go back 12 months and it was one or the other, and they swap every other game.
Yes.
And this season, that has not been the case. I know Jesus missed a little bit of it through injury, but whether he's just failed to regain his form, whether he's just not quite as good as we thought he was, Aguero's just been superb.
Yeah,
I
think it is that, because when Guardiola first came in, he talked about Aguero not doing the donkey work, you know, the work that he likes to see his solo striker do, basically closing down the fullbacks in the channels and dropping in deep when necessary as well. Aguero didn't do that when Guardiola first arrived, but he's adapted his game subsequently, and he's definitely in the top two or three in terms of players of the season, Aguero.
He's just superb, and he doesn't get the credit he deserves, to be honest.
No.
I don't think. But yeah, whether he plays or not, well, actually, that will have a big bearing on things. But nevertheless, this is Spurs at home in their new stadium. 3-1's big
for
them to win. But I'm going to put that up. I don't think I am. I'm going to play it a little safer. Both teams to score, by the way, is 8-13. That makes plenty of appeal. But I wouldn't be surprised if this is fairly low scoring in all truth. I think it won't be cagey, but I can't see it being, you know, 3-2 either way.
I think Spurs would be happy with a 0-0 draw in this first leg. Harry Kane obviously is worth a mention in the goal scorer odds. He's available at 9-2 to score first, 5-4 to score any time. He's got 14 in his last 17 Champions League matches. Scores on average a goal every 106 minutes, or has done in recent history as well. I fancy Spurs. I just think all the football that City have played is going to at some point catch up with them. I do think it will be an unbelievable atmosphere in that new stadium. First Champions League game there. I can see Spurs winning this at 16-5.
Yeah, I could. I could. I'm just... The more you think about it, the more you just think how many Spurs players right now are at the top of their game.
That's a fair comment.
Son isn't.
No.
He's had his moment this season, and now he does look a bit tired.
Yeah.
Eriksen's playing okay. Ali's just coming back from injury. Kane isn't as formidable. I mean, in recent seasons, his record towards the end of a season has been absolutely frightening.
Yeah.
That might be about to start. We don't know.
Mm.
But I will go Tottenham plus a goal at 19 to 20. I don't want to back Man City at odds on in this game. And I certainly don't want to back them fives on to qualify. We mentioned away goals earlier. You wouldn't be surprised if Spurs, in the second leg, go to the Etihad and score. As such, that is an away goal, maybe worth double. Fives on Man City to qualify is a ludicrously short price. So I'll take Spurs plus a goal in the first leg. And yeah, I just hope, from a completely neutral point of view, I have nothing for or against either side. I hope that Spurs stay in this, because the second leg could be fascinating.
Here's one for you. You'll love this as well. Just before we move on. Of the remaining eight teams in the competition, Spurs have scored the highest percentage of Champions League goals in the second half this season. 12 of their 13 goals have come in the second half, ratio of 92%. Man City have scored more second half goals than any other side in the competition, 16. Highest scoring half, second half, 17 to 20.
Yeah.
Starts cagey. It's a stats bet for you.
That is pleasant, Dave.
Like that?
That's one of the better things you've said.
Ever. Let's move on to Wednesday night. Let's start with Ajax versus Juventus. Ajax 12-5, the draw 23-10, Juventus 6-5. To qualify, Ajax 11-4, Juventus are 1-4. Ajax, of course, knocked out the defending champions, Real Madrid, in the last 16. The last side to knock out the current holders of the Champions League was Atletico Madrid. And they went on to lose in the final against Real Madrid that season. That was a few years ago. And I don't know much about this Ajax side. A very young side, youngest side left in the competition. But I tend to try and read up when, just because I was wondering how big a surprise was it, Ajax knocking Real Madrid out. And a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big surprise.
Yeah.
But a lot of the journalists that cover Dutch football,
yeah,
were saying you shouldn't be surprised by this Ajax side because they are so talented. And he didn't say they were going to create a dynasty of like the 80s and 90s Ajax side, but he said they were on the verge of something brilliant. And I just wonder whether they are being incorrectly overlooked for this quarterfinal or not.
I wouldn't profess to being as knowledgeable as Dutch journalists are on Ajax.
Yeah.
But I would have said that their progression past Real Madrid was more down to the Spanish side's ineptitude and continued ineptitude this season rather than Ajax being genuine contenders to win this whole thing.
Mm.
They're a good side. But you look at the players, and I know that people will go, oh, you're just going to say players now that have played in the Premier League. No, but Dusan Tadic and Daley Blind did not rip the Premier League to shreds. They were steady players. They were good players.
Yeah.
But you know what you're getting with them. And there is talent there. Don't get me wrong. Dolberg is a fantastic player. So is Ziyech. Frankie de Jong will get a big money move very soon. And rightly so. He is an absolute star. Nicolas Taliafico at left back will be possibly coming to the Premier League soon. But again, it speaks volumes that he's being linked to clubs like Newcastle, not like Manchester City, for example. That said, they have to be respected. They have just beaten Real Madrid. We know they're good going forward. And they come up against a Juve side who, though they have breezed through Serie A once again, just don't quite convince as much as they used to, as far as I'm concerned. They used to be a stick-on for my weekend hackers. Now, you just have to give it a moment's thought. You should probably put them in. But you just have to give it a second's thought. And a lot of people will say Juve, odds against here, and go, yeah, well, that's pretty nice. But I'm less sure,
yeah,
to be honest with you. The bet I do like in this is both teams to score at 4-5.
I can see that.
I think it'd be fairly open, this. I could see the first leg being a draw, Juve getting the job done second leg. One thing is certain, I'd rather bet Juve to qualify at 4s on than I would Man City to qualify at 5s on.
Okay.
If you're taking it like that. Mm. But they're both pretty short. I do think Ajax can score here. They could score in the second leg too. It's interesting. You've got two very contrasting styles here. Ajax and Real Madrid basically eyed each other up and went, whoever scores the most is going to win this. Whereas Juve will look at them and just go, we'll stop you. And we only need to score two.
And they've got the right man, haven't they, as well? Cristiano Ronaldo has scored 7 in his last 4 in the Champions League, against Ajax, that is, including a hat-trick for Real Madrid on his last visit to the Johan Cruyff Stadium. That was back in October 2012 as well. Incredible performance in the last round, of course, from when everyone was saying, oh, maybe he's on the wane. Maybe he's not the influence he once was, Ronaldo. And he shut them up quite quickly.
That said, I'd be very surprised if he starts, because he has been out for a few games now with that injury that he picked up on international duty.
That's true.
I can't see him starting, so I would leave him out of any potential bet, at least wait until team news. He may be on the bench, that he's not fit enough at all to come back. He should be back for the second leg. But again, that is another boost for Ajax, whether there's a half-fit Ronaldo or coming off the bench Ronaldo. That's still a boon for the home side, because a fully fit Ronaldo is still a frightening prospect.
Manchester United versus Barcelona next. Manchester United 27-10 to win it. The draw 13-5. Barca are even money. Again, recording this on Monday afternoon, so we've not got the enhanced odds up on the website yet or on the app. But if you're listening to this closer to kickoff time, those will be available. And if you want a hashtag your odds bet, do tweet using that hashtag to at William Hill, and the traders will price your bet up. Even money, I find attractive here. First Champions League meeting between Barca and Manchester United since the 2011 final, which Barcelona won 3-1. And Lionel Messi enjoys playing against English teams in this competition as well. He enjoys playing against everyone, I think. But he's got 22 in his last 30 appearances against English teams. That's more than any other player in the history of the competition. But, of course, he's broken many a record, Lionel Messi. I don't know how Manchester United stop Barcelona. I think that's going to test Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who's been given that permanent contract, to the nth degree here. I don't know how he can set up a team defensively to restrict and frustrate Barcelona.
I see where you're coming from. I think the pace that Man U have is the key here, because they can sit quite deep and soak up a bit of pressure, and they're not the best defensive side that we've ever seen at all, but they could soak up a bit of pressure and then hit them on the break. It's not like you've got to say, if Man City and Barca were to face off, one would eventually be forced to adopt the counter-attacking role. They'd battle for possession for a while. Whoever lost would go, right, we're going to have to hit you on the break. Whereas Man U are quite happy to do that from the start, which is a game plan. Now, we've seen in recent games for Man United the fact that, yes, they can get early injuries in games, and that does completely scupper their game plan. I still can't believe they managed to go to PSG and get through.
It was a weird match, that, because I was watching it thinking, what are Paris Saint-Germain doing here? it was bizarre, because they just seemed to lack any desire or impetus in that game. They almost let the game pass them by. I don't think they ever felt really truly threatened until Marcus Rashford stepped up in the 90-odd minute and scored that penalty. It was such a weird, strange game.
Complacency.
It was complacency, and PSG should have put that game to bed. And I think, like you said earlier, Ajax qualifying for this stage of the competition was more down to Real Madrid's ineptitude. Mm-hmm. I think I feel the same way about that game. I didn't think it was a tactical masterclass. I thought they did what you'd expect them to do. They sat back and waited for their chances and managed to hit PSG on the counter-attack. I don't think Barcelona will be as profligate in this game.
No, you wouldn't expect so. But I put Man U up before they played PSG in the first leg to win the whole thing. At 20... might have been 25s with us.
Yeah.
I backed them with a rival at 22s.
Yeah, I think it was.
But and I'd basically throw my slip away before regaining it out of the proverbial bin when they did come back. That said, that is tinged with sadness, because if I'd have just gone back in on them after they'd lost the first leg, you could probably stick a naught on the end of that price.
Was, yeah, but it's 16-1 to win it now.
Yeah, but they've not been helped by the draw here.
No,
they could have had quite a pleasant draw against a Porto or an Ajax here, and you'd be quite pleased. In terms of this game, I am wary. You said that you quite like the price on Barca.
Yeah, I think it's a gift.
I don't dislike it, but I'm going to go the other way. Right, I don't think Man U lose here. That's not price talking.
Manchester United's draw, no. But I just worry. I hope Marcus Rashford's fully fit.
So do I. He's the key. But
that's got to be a doubt, hasn't it, as well?
Look, you've said that you like the price on Barca.
Yes.
I'm saying I quite like the price on Barca, but if you took the prices out of it and said, how do you think Manuel get on tonight? I would say they don't lose. Mm. So I can't go against that from a price point of view. Both teams to score is 6-10, and that's a big price. Man U draw no bet is 13-8. Man U plus a goal is 7-10. Of those, I'd probably back Man United draw no bet at 13-8.
Well, I think Barcelona win, and they win by more than one in this game. So I'm going Barcelona minus one at 13-5. Manchester United have been beaten twice at home in the Champions League already this season, and I think they'll suffer a third defeat in the campaign.
Okay, I'll level with you. If I'm back in Barca, I'm doing it on the handicap, like you said. I think if they win, they do it nicely.
Okay.
Other than that, I think Man U cause them problems.
Let's just quickly spin through the Europa League matches then. I'm aware that if you've got to this stage in the podcast, you might be thinking, when are these two guys going to shut the hell up?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll just do a quick minute on these two games. Slavia Prague versus Chelsea, first of all. Slavia Prague 17-4. The draw 27-10. Chelsea in the betting at 4-6. This is Chelsea's 10th European quarterfinal since 2003-04. They've actually progressed from 9 of those, so that's a very enviable record. Only being eliminated by Manchester United in the Champions League back in 2010-2011. We're recording this before their game against West Ham. I never know what I'm going to get from Chelsea. I've just got no clue how they're going to perform in any game at the moment. Maurizio Sarri looks like he's going to leave in the summer to me.
It's just a bit of a sticky situation, I'd say.
It's just strange because the fans have got an influence here, and they clearly hate Maurizio Sarri and his Sarri ball.
Yeah.
They've become embittered by the way he set the team up and not giving Callum Hudson-Odoi starts, for instance. Now, that's changed recently, but they've just got no trust in him.
No, I feel it's very easy to jump on a bandwagon when people are either well-hyped or quite the opposite in Sarri's case, when people have got a bit of a downer on him. But having watched Cardiff-Chelsea the other day, how Hudson-Odoi cannot come on and change that game is beyond me. Yes, they ended up winning that game. I don't really know how, but he is a game changer. And against Brighton, he was sharp, lively, and got an assist. Fair play.
Yeah.
Now, again, we're recording this, as you said, before the Monday game, so we don't know the team they've put out there. That will obviously have a bearing on which team they put out on Thursday, i.e. whoever starts of Higuain and Giroud against West Ham will then not start, surely, on Thursday. Likewise, I think Hudson-Odoi will start one, not the other. But then you've got players in there who serve a purpose as what should be squad members of a Champions League-seeking side, i.e. Pedro right now is a fair squad player, but he should not be the main man.
Yeah. They're going to need an overhaul in the summer because...
But they are, but then...
They're going to lose Eden Hazard, aren't they, you would think?
But have they got a transfer ban?
Yeah.
This is all... We'll find out more this week about that, but... Yeah, it's a bit of a mess. That said, they're playing Slavia Prague here. Goodness me. 4-6 looks fine. Slavia Prague are a fair outfit, but the Czech League is not the most inspiring in the world.
No. I mean, they've only progressed from a European quarterfinal once in their history. That was back in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
So they should be outclassed by Chelsea here, but I don't know if I want to get involved with Chelsea at 4-6.
I think I do, actually.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I think it's decent.
It's just one of those games where they should just have too much class. And they're used to these kind of games this season. They've already played against minnows in the Europa League, and they've gone there and done a job on them. But it is worth bearing in mind, that Slavia Prague at home are pretty stunning, to be honest. They've only lost once at home domestically all season. That was back in August. Their home record is pretty superb. But last two away games, or since the turn of the year for Chelsea in the Europa League, away at Malmo, 1-2-1. Away at Dynamo Kiev, 1-5-0. Another Blues win incoming.
Arsenal versus Napoli, the other game involving an English club in the Europa League. Arsenal 13-10 to win it. The draw 12-5. Napoli available at 2-1. Qualification prices: Arsenal even money. Napoli are 8-11. This is more like, isn't it, for a Europa League clash? Arsenal reaching the quarterfinal stages in consecutive seasons in a European competition since first time since 2008, 2009, 2009, 2010, and they knocked out CSKA Moscow at this stage of the Europa League last season before losing to Atletico Madrid.
Would you rather win the Europa League or get knocked out in the quarters of the Champions League?
Win the Europa League.
Would you?
Yeah. Winning the Europa League guarantees you qualification for the Champions League next season. And this season, it's a bigger factor than ever, isn't it?
Because, but in terms of the whole passage that has led you to there.
Okay.
So Arsenal have been there all season. I know that you sometimes get Champions League sides who drop down.
Yeah.
I.e. Napoli. I'm just curious.
Would you rather reach the quarters of a...
I think the Europa League,
as a fan, have silverware?
Depends on your support. If you are a Wolves fan and you got half a squeak of qualifying for the Europa League, you would want to win that competition.
Yeah.
Arsenal and Chelsea have seen it as an inconvenience all season.
Yes.
Until about now, when they start to go, all right, well, all of a sudden that fourth place finish we were hoping for is looking a bit risky.
It's in the balance, isn't it? And especially for Arsenal. I thought Arsenal would, once they'd moved ahead of Spurs, were guaranteed that top four finish, but then they go and get beaten by Everton.
They were so meek in
that game, that was such a bad performance.
All Everton did was press them.
Yeah.
And they didn't even press them incredibly well. They played well, Everton. I don't want to take too much away from them. It was a good game plan from Marco Silva. But Arsenal just looked so scared.
Mm.
And Ozil is... I don't want to talk about him because he annoys me. How can you have that much talent and yet...
He's been playing better, hasn't he? I just think he's
a luxury that you cannot afford.
It's endemic of Arsenal's problems on the road, isn't it, I think? Arsenal just struggle away from home.
Yeah.
This game against Napoli is interesting. I can't believe they've never beaten an English side away from home in Europe. They've played 8 and drawn 1 and lost 7. They've lost against Burnley, Leeds United, Liverpool, Chelsea, City and Arsenal away in Europe. What do you make to this from a betting perspective then?
Well, Napoli's away form in Serie A is not staggering by any means. They come here off the back of a disappointing 1-1 draw at home to Genoa at the weekend. And Genoa had 10 men for a good chunk of the second half there, and they couldn't get past them. They have obviously forfeit the Serie A title. Juve are 20 points clear or whatever it is now. Arsenal at home have been pretty untouchable recently. The last two defeats for them at home have both been in cup competitions. I know this is a cup game. But you have to go back to November for the last time that Arsenal dropped points at home in a league game. Mm. Yes, this is a cup game, but Arsenal haven't come up against much so far this season in the Europa League. It's certainly the biggest test that they've had. But at the prices, I think I'd probably still stick with Arsenal at odds against.
Okay.
I think they're probably worth a bet, but I can see Napoli getting on the score sheet. I think of all of the games that we've previewed, this over the two legs has the potential to be one of the most exciting. Because both sides, defensively, a little suspect. Napoli are probably better defensively than Arsenal are. But going forward, on their day, can be absolutely mouth-watering. So I'm going to just tentatively come down on the side of Arsenal. But I would caveat that by saying you can back them at 13-10 or you can back them and both teams to score at 14-5. And I know which I'd rather be doing.
Arsenal to win the game and both teams to score 14-5 for Mr. Dunn. Arsenal 13-10, the draw 12-5, Napoli 2-1. Thank you for your company, sir.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Make sure you check out all the betting on the William Hill website and on the app as well. Should be a fun midweek of European football. And if you're having a bet, make sure you do it here with William Hill.
Gamble responsibly and drink responsibly.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.